listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
The new moon rode high in the crown of the metropolis, shining like who on top of this. People was tussling, arguing and bustling, gangsters of Gotham, hardcore hustling. I'm wrestling with words and ideas, my ears is pick, seeking what to transmit, describes that can apply to transcript. Yo, this ain't no time where the usual is suitable. Tonight alive, let's describe the indescrutable, the indisputable. We New York, the narcotic, strengthen the metal with fiber optics, where mercenaries is paid to trade stock, hot stock tips for profits. Thirsty criminals take pockets, hard knuckles on the second hands of working class watches. Ooh, one of the best verses of all time, Ros. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy with Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Saturday. Feedback Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's right. Today, will you guys talk about all the things that we talked about throughout the week? You left comments on our website, theblackoutist.com. We'll read those responses to our episodes. You also did things like vote in the polls. You did things like, leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. And people took the time out of their busy schedules to even donate to the show. So I mean, we had a ton of people, you know, do a bunch of stuff to express their love and affection, and we will be remiss if we didn't return y'all's love and affection. Okay. All right, so let's get right into the people that did donate with the choir selection.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. Hey, it's a new day, which you know what that means. New paper. Mm-hmm. Let's get this money. we had some people donate. We got a one-time donation from Marty. Oh, Marty. We met him when we went to Walker Stalker Con. We took a picture with him.
Hey, baby.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you.
No comments or anything. Just straight up donation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sweetie.
Adam S. recurring donor. Thank you, Adam. Mm-hmm. Katie G. recurring donator. Thank you, Katie. Mm-hmm. Kenny G. He's in the G family. Jason J. recurring donator. Candace H. recurring donator. Nerds in Luxury, those luxurious nerds, recurring donation. Chriselle M, recurring donator. Asia D, yes, Asia D, recurring donator. LaTanya D, recurring donator. Justin J donated again. Man, thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Marvin B, yes, Marvin B, recurring donator. Early Daisy Photography, recurring donator. Nicole F, recurring donator. Andy S, recurring donator. Thank you, Andy. Mr. Span from the Span Report, recurring donator. Thank you.
Thank you.
Corey B, with a recurring donation. Got a one-time donation from Born Beautiful Naturals. It's Katrina at Number One Feeling, mm-hmm, who sent us that package all the way from overseas.
Yes.
As promised, here's a little contribution towards Karen spending money for Jamaica. Bless up. Well, I will have to say a fine booyaka back to you. Mary H, recurring donator, thank you very much. Janine R, recurring donator, thank you. Stefan H, recurring donator. Patrick D, recurring donator. Shayna W, recurring donator. What is it, the end of the month? It's a lot. Oh yeah, it is the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's, I was like, man, there's a lot of people.
Yeah, end of the month.
Jacqueline H, recurring donator. Sarah D, recurring donator. Omot A, recurring donator, who is a brand new recurring donator. Go join the No Members class. Thank you.
Yes.
Deborah F, recurring donator. One time donation says, love, Rod and Karen will be recurring donator next month at Black with Freckles. Oh,
thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you. Michael Irvin, the Playmaker, recurring donator. Thank you. Waste Bees by Sue, recurring donator. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander M, recurring donator. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hugh G, recurring donator. Thank you. Cassie F says, had to drop a few coins in the offering plate. Love y'all. Oh, and that's everybody. Lay me out.
And my people say,
oh, oh, oh.
You look so much better when you're,
oh, oh, oh.
You look so much better when you're,
oh, oh, oh.
You look so much better when you're,
oh, oh, oh.
You look so much better when you're,
oh, oh, oh.
You look so much better.
when you smile.
I almost gave up.
I can't explain.
Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower.
Hardships, difficulties.
I smile, even though it hurts, see, I smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while, I smile, smile. It's so hard looking when you look down. Sure would hate to see you give up now. You look so much better when you smile.
All right. So I guess we can get right into all the feedback and stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of it. We got some 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. Once again, if you leave a 5-star review, as long as we like it and it's positive, we will read it on the air.
We sure will.
If it's not 5 stars, we won't read it. If it's not positive, we won't read it.
Correct.
So there's only one way to get your shit read.
Only one way?
I mean, you don't have to get your shit read. I mean, you can just say what you want to say. I mean, it's not like we're forcing you to do you. There's plenty of people that have decided to leave us less than stellar reviews. We just don't read them.
Correct.
I don't want to know about that stuff, and neither do you.
Mm-mm.
Wonderful. And Edited Life says, one of the best 5 stars. Yes, that was a helpful review. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Dez Making Noise says, one of the best. My favorite podcast, Rod and Karen, definitely put the work in and deserve all the praise. Each episode is educational, informative, and funny at the same time. What other podcast is doing that? Listen and get your life together. Thank you. And we will help them get their life together. Okay? We're working on it.
We are.
Best podcast, 5 stars by Corgi Diceps. Corgi Diceps. Been listening to the TBGWT for years now, and it's still the only podcast I don't skip occasionally. The premium shows are worth every penny. I don't like to watch sports, but I'm listening to Balls Deep every week, and the Nerd Off has helped me expand my nerddom. Rod and Karen are the best.
Thank you.
Love this podcast. Starbar 2000 says, the title is self-explanatory. 5 stars. Thank you. That's all we need.
Yes.
5V Star says, No Ho Doug. What does that mean? Northern Howard? I don't know. What does it just mean? I don't have no hoes. My name is Doug. I have no hoes. They call me No Ho Doug. Karen and her husband Rod are the best. They're smart, informative, and funny, and will never do you wrong. Thank you. You know we never will do you wrong, girl.
Mm-mm.
Gonna be here for you every night. Rod and Karen are so dope by Weeder 45. 5 stars, and the review body says period. Mm-hmm. Marine 87 Devil says, goodness gracious, 5 stars. Everything about this podcast,
great balls of fire,
right? Everything about this podcast gives me deeper look into topics and news, which I would never seek for myself or too lazy to anyways. Karen, Rod, thank you for keeping me woke for 3 years. 3 years. Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you listening.
We do.
And then, of course, we got a couple on Stitcher as well. We got 3. Y'all were on it this week. Y'all made up for last week.
Thank you, guys.
C6 says, I'm a 5-star podcast because I ain't that other podcast. This is my favorite podcast of all time. The episodes are always humorous, thoughtful, insightful, and honest. The sheer amount of work that Rod and Karen put in to produce so much great content is truly amazing. It's really obvious how much they love what they do and appreciate their listeners. Their reviews of TV shows and movies, especially The Walking Dead, are great. They consistently bring in great guests, and in doing so have introduced me to so many other great podcasts. Long days at work are made so much better by being able to listen to this podcast, though I would recommend headphones because some of your coworkers aren't cool like that. P.S. I need these groupies to step up their game. I miss the days when there was a Baller Alert segment every episode. I know.
I don't know what's happening, y'all.
Man, listen. It's a drought in the having sex with athletes and telling game. I'm assuming people are still having sex with celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
They just not going to Baller Alert to report back and let us know the hygiene.
They somewhere, they just ain't, might not be posting on Baller Alert.
We just need the details. That's all we want.
That's all.
JM3K says 5 stars. That the show that everybody needs. I cannot emphasize enough. The Blackout Test is a show that everybody needs to listen to. It's entertaining and it makes you a better person. P.S. Karen, I eat my cereal dry. I only drink a sip of milk between every bite. So you eat your cereal the same way that the girl at the end of Get Out eats her cereal? Okay, JM3K. Okay. I'm just saying. Do you do it with a white shirt with your legs folded on the bed looking through NCAA picks? Just wondering. Tira says, 5 stars, love this podcast, but my reviews aren't posting. Just going to send this and hope it does. Great work, Rod and Karen. Much love. Well, the good news is, it worked.
It worked. It posted, baby.
You made it. So, we glad you can make it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get into the comments on the website. We had a bunch. Of course, we had episode 1410. Karen is going to the beach, boy. That's how you pronounce it, in case y'all were watching at home. Boy, I don't know how you spell it, Jamaican people, sorry. Sorry if I'm offending all of my Jamaican folks. It's like, this is the worst way to do it. We got a bunch of comments, 9 comments. Mikhail says, I'd rather hear about our people and hear more on all the other shows segments versus hearing what white people are wearing or who they're dating. Well, I hear you, Mikhail. We'll see what the poll results say. Mm-hmm. Prof Corey says, oh my God, what a fabulous surprise for Karen. Wow, that's going to be so freaking fabulous. I got a feeling I have happy tears when I see the pictures from that amazing getaway of 10 powerful black women. Enjoy enough for me too.
I will.
Dope. C6 says, I had to Google who the Watersons were because I forgot that was the name of their family. I'm not a regular watcher of Amazing World of Gumball. But when I realized who it was a no-brainer. The question wasn't who was the best cartoon family or even who was the funniest cartoon family. It was who was the most adorable. And for that, there is only one acceptable answer. And most of y'all got it wrong. That's what I was saying about the poll last week. I can't believe some of y'all selected the people y'all picked. I'm just sad. Just really sad.
I bet you a lot of people do not watch Gumball. Like,
that's what I think. It was a popularity contest and they just didn't know and they didn't do any research and they messed up my scientific analysis. D. Ramsey, PH Dunn says, saving Queen Karen's surprise trip to the women's retreat this fall is proof that your podcast reaches all ages, all generations, etc. I love you guys. Aw.
Thank you.
Jay Fool says, I saw the episode title and was wondering where it came from. That is such a dope surprise. I was expecting Marissa and Leslie to say, oh, hey, Karen, we're going to donate XYZ to TBZ, to TBGWT for you to use for whatever you want to uplift black women. Then when they hit her with the invitation to Jamaica, I was like, oh, shit. When they said they were covering the travel and stay, I screamed like I won. Karen, get your passport ready and your sunscreen too, LOL. The only place my dark skin ever gets sunburned is in the Caribbean. I swear the sun feels as close as a regular light in your house. That's beautiful. Corgi Diceps, or Diceps, I guess. Corgi Diceps says, the stages I went through after hearing about Jamaica. 1, that's so fucking amazing and deserved. Goddamn good for Karen. 2, wait, Rod has said he doesn't do the show without Karen. A week without the blackout tips? 3, okay, I can do this for Karen. I can do this. So excited for you, Karen. Can't wait to hear all about it when you get back.
Thank you.
Sim Simmons says, I totally teared up hearing Leslie and Marissa celebrate Karen. Queen Karen is consistently pouring into women and we get to see it when you have guests, and Karen is so encouraging. Just listening to the show, I have begun to realize the way that apologies have become my default and saying thank you to people even when I'm the one doing the work. I hope to make it to Charlotte this summer and I would love to treat Karen to bottomless brunch as thank you for being a Karen friend in my head. Karen's husband is welcome to join as well. LOL, I love you guys. Thanks, Sim Simma.
No problem.
Let us know. Mm-hmm. Let us know. Amani says, when I tell you that surprise for Karen made my heart full, listen, you deserve it and we're all thrilled for you. The brilliance, joy, and love you bring every day will always be returned to you. And I hope Rod takes that week and gets some rest too. No more 8 a.m. podcast, sleep in, get a couple runs in at the Y. Both of y'all earned the time to treat yourselves for a minute. Oh, yeah. I'm just going to be at the strip club every day, dog. You know how it is. Nah, I'm probably going to be, if I'm being honest, I'll probably be colonizing a couple more worlds. The human race it's not gonna continue itself, okay guys? And that's why we have to go to the Nexus system. And we have to, right now, I just got Vol to 100% viability, and I started a colony there. So, next, hopefully I can find the Turians, because I don't know what happened with their, transport, but.
Yeah, you conquering the world. I had to go to sleep.
Yeah, I know the Asari, Pathfinder is loose, but I need to go talk to her. So honestly, I'm probably going to be a little too busy to go to Jamaica anyway, cause I'm going to be too busy going to other planets and galaxies and stuff, guys. Sorry. Tanya W42 says, first of all, so happy to hear about Karen's surprise trip. Have a great time, Karen. You deserve it.
Thank you.
Also, just a general comment, I saw Rae Sani last night hosting the Decepticomic show in New York City. She was so awesome and hilarious, no wonder you love her so much. I mean,
you love Rae Sani.
Look, man, when we tell you these people are brilliant, we're not bullshitting.
No, we're not bullshitting either. I'm trying to tell you, people out there, keep your eye on Rae Sani. Within the next few years, she's going to be one of the top comedians across the country. Keep your eye on her for real, though.
Yeah, I mean, look at Janelle James. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Yeah, she's gonna be doing it big.
Mike Brown's gonna be on the show next week. They're doing a tour all on their own. The Decepticomics, mm-hmm. With their resources and organizing and shit like that. I mean, there's a lot of people that we bring on here that are so talented.
Yes,
and
they are.
You know, I wish we could even get more people on than we have gotten. But there's so many people that are so talented and they're out there doing stuff. And I hope people, support them and interact with them.
Yep, especially for people that lives in towns near you or you've heard them, please go support them because they're out there. A lot of them are doing their own thing. A lot of them are doing it independently. They're not connected to a network or anybody big. They're just grinding, trying to make it. So that's one of the things where a lot of talent actually passes through here. And y'all know we don't co-sign bullshit. So if we say that they're good, they're good.
She also says, I believe she was just on that one show, but the Decepticomics are currently on tour. So check out Decepticomics.com/tour. Yeah, we'll have Mike Brown on this week. I think it's Monday he's going to be on. Mm-hmm. And, depending on what the audio situation is, we'll try to see if we can get, talk to them while they're on the tour.
Okay.
But obviously hotel, Wi-Fi and audio.
Right, we'll that's see. Something else. Yeah.
But we're definitely going to talk to Mike Monday. And, Decepticomics.com/tour. To see if they're coming to your area, they are all so good. Everyone killed last night. Peace.
I bet they are. We would love to see them. They're just too far from us.
Mm-hmm. I wish they would have came to Charlotte. And they may add tour dates, they told me. So okay. We'll see. The poll was, should we do any more episodes of all white people news? Cause we had a couple people write in last week. They're like, oh, it stresses me out. I got so mad with some of the news. And then, I was like, maybe we should make it a poll. I don't know. Maybe people don't want to hear it. No, I don't like them, or yes, I enjoy them. 66% of you guys, 67%, you guys enjoy them, which means only 33% of people don't like the all white people news episodes. So, it looks like they're going to continue. I like doing those episodes, honestly.
I do too.
They decompress me. Sometimes I don't want to be thinking about woe is me all the fucking time. Yeah, sometimes I just want to see how funny and trippy it is what white people care about.
Right.
We had some comments. Mike in London says, I'm white, so I know all this stuff already. Well, your vote didn't really count. Whitley F. Brooks says, I call BS on the results of Rod's poll about man codes. Like Queen Karen said, I demand a recount. I, too, am a woman who was part of this conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Well, too bad, Whitley. The science has spoken. Amani says, shit, all white people news episodes are so friends. Sometimes I need that weight taken off. Mm-hmm. All these important stories that try our souls, it's nice for a day to take a mental health break and get into a different headspace. Y'all gonna do what you want either way, but that's true. But yeah, if I didn't know the results of this poll, but white people episodes were continuing. They for me. I don't give a fuck. They for me. If you don't like it, the poll would have came in 99% no, I would have been like, that's really unfortunate for people. They're gonna have to skip that episode.
They sure are.
Because I'm gonna continue to talk about these white folks. I'm collecting this news on purpose. It is freeing. It is trivial as fuck. I don't have the mental fortitude to do fucking good times with y'all every week, five times a week. I just do not have the time. I don't have it, dog. Sometimes I gotta laugh too. Anyway, he says, but it's been 1400 plus eps so far. Y'all are never let us wrong. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, I mean, even our pop culture news be sad, you know?
Yes.
Like Kendrick came out with a new song. I was all excited for it.
Oh, it was flames.
And then I saw the video for it. I was like, this video is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. My God, Kendrick Lamar. And then I was listening to second verse and he said something about women needs natural hair and stretch marks. He tied a Photoshop and I was like, that's going to be a problem. Like just cause I didn't even have to like click on anybody's stat. Mm-hmm. Like
I didn't ask nobody. I didn't talk to nobody, but yeah,
I said, that's going to be a problem. It's just, that's, and that, and it was my whole timeline all day been people going back and forth with the, you know, men telling women it ain't a big deal not to say nothing. Or, you know, now y'all got something to say, you know, that kind of shit. I made a joke cause I was like, he should just say it's April Fool's, you know, he should just say it's April Fool's cause it came out the day before April Fool's.
That just
went off. That'll be one way to get out of the controversy. Be like, oh no, it's an April Fool's song. I believe the opposite of that. But yeah, I knew it was gonna be an issue, man. So, and that's pop culture shit. Like, that's our fun shit. Now, if I was saying Madonna came out with a song, it was problematic, we'd all be laughing and being like, ha! White people mad about this thing.
Of course.
So it's a little bit different. Our shit got more weight to it. You know?
Yes.
Now I feel like I have to play that song. Hold on, let me get to the part. Let me play some of the song.
Nobody pray for me.
For the record, I love this song.
Me too.
But it, to me, it's like the black of the berry, the black of the berry, the something the juice. I can't even remember.
Sweet of the juice?
Maybe it's sweet of the juice. Yeah, I can't remember what it was. I ain't want to tank it, you know. But yeah, like I remember black of the berry. I was like, this song fucking goes. Mm. And then he had that whole verse about like, but what about black on black crime? And I was like, okay, that's Kendrick. Like, I know a bunch of niggas that believe that shit. I don't necessarily agree with them, and that's one of the reasons I don't let them tell me what to believe politically or right. In my relationship or about transgender rights or about whatever, you know what I mean? Like, that dude's also a self-professed like Christian dude, like has a lot of religious overtones to his music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the thing that's weird about being an atheist, I think my lack of faith in that kind of stuff informs a lot of the ways I view people. Because mm-hmm. I'm already compartmentalizing even people I love, even my friends. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm already like, well, that's some shit I disagree with about you, but I would not fight you to try to change what you believe if it's not affecting me. So if you're not walking around talking about I hate gay people or some shit, then I don't care that you whatever you can but to me it's all the same. If you were, whether you're a Muslim, Christian, Hindu, only thing I care about is you impending upon somebody else's rights. If you're not, I can't really do shit with that. If you think your religion is like we can walk around in burqas and that's a religious thing and I don't understand it necessarily, but if that's a thing that y'all do and everybody's agreeing that that's a thing they want to do, who am I to tell you can't do it?
Right.
So I think it informs me in a way that I think other people, you know, mostly through privilege, but if you're a Christian person in America, you don't even see Kendrick's religious overtones as anything other than just like part of his narrative, right?
Right.
Good Kid, Mad City ended with him getting saved. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and it started with the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, like to me, it's like I hear that stuff and I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess to him, the thing that saved him from the ills of Compton was Jesus and God. The problem with that is in the black church, there's a lot of fucked up shit. Like, you know, I know it used to be a place to organize and stuff for like the 60s and 70s and maybe to some extent it may still be. I'm not sure, but in general, it's also the place where there's a lot of homophobia, place where there's a whole lot of misogyny, there's a place where, it's like a lot of oppression and repression, and it's about black men being the head of the table and black women are supposed to serve and nobody's supposed to be gay and all this shit, you know. So when I see somebody that's very religious, I can't help but wonder when the other shoe's gonna drop. And I think it happens all the time, you know. And I think even conscious rappers, especially conscious rappers, they traffic in misogyny, but it's just different. It's like the bar is very, very low for black male rappers, right? So for black men, the, like, we have NWA. You have the Migos, who were just fucking on your girl. She a thought. You know, like, we just had all those people out there. So that's where people think the bar is. So then when a rapper is like, girl, you beautiful. You don't have to wear tight clothes. People are like, oh, he's so nice. He's woke. He loves women, you know. But they don't see that that's also policing women's bodies the same. Like, no, he didn't call you a bitch, but he did essentially say that you need to have some type of respectability about what you wear and how you dress and how you talk and your hair. And it's the same thing. A man is dictating down to a woman what she should and should not do to be valued. And I always, you know, one of the things I wonder is like how rap ages. Like, people always talk bad about the rappers today, which, whatever. But in general, some of my favorite songs have aged horrifically.
Yes, they have.
It's like, as I've grown up, I've looked back and went like, no, you can't say that.
Right. I listen to some of those songs, I'm like, oh, there'll be so many think pieces.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, one of my favorite songs, and most people our age is probably one of your favorite songs, Self-Destruction.
Right.
Everybody knows all the fucking That's words of Self-Destruction. Song. Self-destruction would have been respectability politics.
Sir.
What about black on black crime? Mm. Everybody involved with that song. Some of the hardcore's most gangster rappers. People we respect. Chuck D. Like, motherfuckers that people go up for. We would all be like, you fucking respectability politic coon ass shucking jiving niggas out here trying to sell out black people for white people. Talking about self-destruction and what about the crime and da-da-da. Like, just I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man. Just all you can hear is keys. They got the keys typing on keyboards, because motherfuckers would have got roasted for that shit. So I think certain things haven't aged well. And then on top of that, some of the people that learned and look up to those people are the people we're seeing rap now.
Correct.
So I compartmentalize a lot because just the way I view the world. I don't really put a lot of people on pedestals. I don't really have much faith in people. And I definitely don't think by the nature of being a celebrity, what someone has to say is extreme, is important or something we should all do. But it's interesting because I feel like there's a lot of people that do that. And then, like we talked about Chimamanda just a couple weeks ago, because that's your fave and because that's you like that person or you like their art or whatever, instead of having the conversation that you would have had if you didn't like that person, you end up having a different conversation about how this dude is above reproach and we shouldn't talk about it, you know?
Yeah, and maybe because my philosophy, I can enjoy your product and like what you do and say, oh yeah, that shit is fucked up and yeah, that shit is problematic. I'm not gonna defend that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like it, and nobody wants to come out and say that.
Right.
Nobody ever will to come out and say that, because when you say that, a lot of times you get to the point where people go, well, oh, you like that shit? We're like, yes, and yes, I'm agreeing with you that your point is valid. People don't want to hear that.
Right. They're saying you went off the screen, by the way.
I did, because I refreshed. People were saying that they weren't seeing me, so I'm refreshing.
Okay, yeah, and so like when I hear so anyway, let me play this song, because I actually need to get to the part of the verse where people are like, mm-mm. Let me see, maybe around here. It's a very short song.
Sit down. Be humble. Bitch, sit down.
By the way, if you haven't seen the video, I do suggest you watch the video. The video is fucking beautiful.
It is.
Like, god damn. They, whoever shot that video did the fucking thing out of that video.
Be humble. Sit down. Who that nigga thinking that he frontin' on women? Get the fuck off my stage. I'm the semen. Get the fuck off my dick. That ain't right. I make a play fucking up your whole life. I'm so fucking sick and tired of the Photoshop. Show me something natural like Afro on Richard Pryor. Show me something natural like ass with some stretch marks. Still a take you down right on your mama couch and polo sock. Hey, this shit way too crazy. Hey.
So that was the line, basically. He wanted to see something real. He's tired of Photoshop. He wanted, and I think it's that thing too where you see yourself as celebrating women that aren't celebrated by being like, women don't have to be fake and all this shit. But anytime you express a preference in public, people are gonna jump on it. Like, you can't, because it's still that way of expressing the preference where you're telling somebody else that they're fucked up. You know, so it's basically like, oh, you bitches is Photoshop, y'all fake, y'all, you know, I want to see that certain type of hair, I want to see that certain type of ass. And people are just like, women's bodies are politicized. People are tired of hearing that shit, you know.
Yeah, particularly black women,
right? Yeah, they're just tired of hearing that shit. So, you know, I don't, like, I've been seeing people's responses to it. I've been seeing people, like, low-key defend it. I've been seeing women even be like, yes, I fucking want to hear a rapper say that because I'm tired of rappers saying all the opposite all my life, you know. Yeah, I mean, that's a real feeling, too. Yes, I'm not trying to tell anyone how to feel about it. But, you know, I didn't even jump into the fray of defending or anything with it, because it's like, he... not as a diss, but he a rapper. He not a political leader. Mm-hmm. He's not, his shit, I don't get, I'll put it this way. I don't take my political stuff from entertainers.
Correct.
For the most part. They have to show some sort of willingness outside of being entertainers, for me to really want to hear what they have to say about stuff.
Same here.
Like, you're like, if your song, if I don't, I'll listen to the Migos, but I know those dudes also homophobic, you know. I'll listen to Kendrick, but I'm not, and that's the thing, I'm not gonna defend against attacks when mm-hmm. people say, like, or critiques, not even attacks, critiques. When I hear people be like, yo, Kendrick got some issues around women, he says this and this, I'm like, he did say those things. What do you want? You know, I'm not going to fight you.
That's the thing. I'm not going to argue. Go, right. If you want to argue with the other people. I'm not going
to
argue.
Yeah, I think it feels like I've been dancing to problematic shit my whole life.
My whole entire life. So, if that's the case, people wouldn't listen to shit. And that's something that people need to realize, too. Because there's a lot of people, I don't care what genre, I'll be real, what genre music it is, all genre music has problematic shit. A lot of genre of music is homophobic across the board. A lot of genre of music talks about abuse to women. Talk about women being abused. Talk about beating women. Like, let's just keep it real. If that's the case, why are you listening to any music? Not trying to be funny. If you want to take it to the notes and the bumps and get down to the nitty gritty, why are you listening to any music? All music is problematic. So everybody listen to it. And I don't care. And people critiquing it. And it's okay to have that critique. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to call people out, because as you grow and as you learn more, you start to pinpoint things out. And I don't have a problem with you pinpointing those things out, but for some people it's the woke Olympics. Not for everybody, but for mm-hmm. some people it's the goddamn woke Olympics. And the thing about the woke Olympics, it's only woke when it's some shit that somebody that you feel like critiquing. You don't have this stance on everything that crosses you.
I think for people like Kendrick, what happens is there are people that elevate him to some type of black leadership role. And I think that's what people are really fighting against. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think people are like, I don't want anyone to be a fan of him. I'm not a fan of him. there are some people like that. Mm-hmm. But in general, I think the majority of people, they're like, some of them are like, I like Kendrick, but this thing he said was fucked up.
Right.
And I think that's, the I don't get hung up on it because I don't see Dave Chappelle as a black leader. I don't see Kendrick Lamar as a, like, I think I feel like I've just been saying this for so long. We had the show. If the shit isn't jamming, I wouldn't care one way or the other.
Right.
Like, I do understand that the relationship between me and entertainment is it has to be entertaining first and foremost.
Right.
I think other people have different ways of receiving entertainment, and then that's where everybody gets in these rows about these fights about, it must mean this to you, it must mean that to you. But we have to, I think, I recognize that other people take things in differently than me. I don't, like, if I see a show and there's no black people on it, I'll note that, but I can still watch the show and enjoy it. If Karen sees a show and there's no black people on it, she immediately checks out. I'm not here to convince her. Like, I think most people would then try to convince Karen, like, you're wrong, you need to watch Breaking Bad. You're wrong, you need to watch Mad Men. And vice versa. You know, a lot of, like, in Karen's shoes, there would be people like, no, you're wrong, you shouldn't be watching those shows. And we talked about this with Nina this week. I kind of feel like the problem is that people aren't respecting when folks say, like, I listen to this, yeah, it has problems, but I'm not, that's not how I govern my life. I just dance to this song.
Right.
You know,
right.
I watch this show, I'm not okay with, I watch Game of Thrones, I'm not okay with you, if someone got raped, that I, you know, like, I wouldn't be like, well, Game of Thrones said it was okay. Like, no, those two scenes are different to me.
I'm not okay with you going out and killing a village full of people. I am not cool with that. And I think, for me, a lot of it comes out of respect. There are people out there that have these differences of opinions, and they respect differences of opinion. But a lot of people out there they're not respecting shit. They out there arguing for the sake of arguing,
talking down each
other, having woke Olympics. I'm woker than you, I'm better than you, I'm righter than you, you don't know what you're talking about, losing friendships, losing relationships over something, not trying to be funny. At the end of the day, it's so minuscule that it's not gonna matter. Something else is gonna happen, not trying to be funny, tragic in the black community, and we're gonna be talking about some other shit.
Yeah, well, you want to know what's wild to me is, so, like, people complain, you know, and like I said, some of these critiques are very valid.
Yes, they are.
I agree with them. I don't have a, like, I wouldn't defend against these things that people are saying. But then there's always the people that do defend, and then that's where the argument starts. Because to me, it's like, you ain't gotta argue with me because I believe you. You say it's fucked up. You don't like when men are talking about what women's bodies should be like.
That's not a sufficient answer. A lot of times they just want to argue with you, and you like,
you know what's funny? I haven't gotten involved in any of these discussions on social media. I think maybe because my following is getting too big and shit too. Mm-hmm. But I haven't wanted to because I don't disagree.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't understand what is the harm of just being like, you right? I mean, it's not like,
right.
I don't think people say that and they expect, like, everyone in the world to stop playing Kendrick Lamar's music. No, they're noting that it has an issue and that you can listen, they won't. Or that you can listen and they'll listen, but they're going to always bring up that it's a problem. That's fine. I don't know what the fight would be on that, but it reminds me of, some of my favorite problematic songs, and number one that would not be able to be made together. And I don't mean problematic in a way y'all think, like, you know, suck on my dick, bitch, you a hoe. No, I don't mean those. I'm talking about shit that people, like, jam to, but it's so fucked up.
Oh, I got a lot of that music.
Number one on my list is Outkast, Jazzy Bell. This song, like, everyone finally remembers it. It's so slut shaming. It's like the slut shaming is. Let me see if I can play this shit. But it's like legitimately fucked up. Like, just.
But it goes.
Right. We gonna try to fuck these women. But just know that if you fuck us, y'all are hoes and we don't respect you. And the flow and the lyrics was so perfect, and the beat was so great. Oh,
flames!
I listen to the song all the time, and I just be like, "Don't agree," but the shit is banging.
And at the end of the day, that's all. Not trying to find, for me, everybody consumes shit differently, yeah. But for me, that's all that matters. You can be, there's some people I draw that line on, not trying to be funny, but for me.
I mean, you won't let me play R. Kelly without saying,
No R. Kelly, no Chris Brown. I have some people I went, you are so far that you, I can't even enjoy your music no more. But for the average person, I understand that this shit is problematic, and I'm not gonna argue with you when you point it out.
Yeah, but this one is just like the all timer for me.
Oh yes, I love her like Egyptian. On the description, my royal highness. So many pluses when I bust that, there can't be no.
I should have known it was gonna be problematic from the fact that you dropped that Egyptians, because you know that's what them hotels be on, that Pharaoh Tut. King queen type. I was like, I should have known, but I didn't see it coming. I used to jam out to this,
especially before I knew anything about it, because I talked about that one period of time. I ain't know nothing about that.
Listen, 1996, I thought this was a powerful, uplifting black anthem for us to get together with kings and queens in 1996 on the road to school. You know, just like that boy Outkast really cares about the community.
Went from yelling crickets and crows, bitches and hoes and queen things. Over the years I've been up on my toes, and yes I sing things like chill right, because them folks might think you soft talking like that. Man, fuck them niggas, I'm going off and coming right back like boomerangs when you throw 'em with them no ghetto poems. Think it is better form when they can let they thorn. Now from hitchhiking and biting niggas into the temple they call the body. Now everybody got it.
Now see, that's when it started going to me. Started going way left, because it was like, you know, inviting niggas into the temple they call they body. Now everybody got it. Like, oh, here we go. So these women shouldn't be fucking. Okay.
Had it, talked about it amongst their friends. Coming around my crew, looking jazz, they wanna pretend like you is good at faux shoes, even bone new that you got coached.
So basically, you are now worthless because you've been getting fucked by dudes. Now keep in mind, they still let her come around the crew. Probably because they want to fuck, but she's a valueless person because she has had sex with more than one person at this point. Say what, baby?
A lot of people feel like that, which is sad. But,
right. No. That's definitely how society operates. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily make it okay, but that's definitely, you know, everyone's kind of brought into that mindset.
Yeah.
This is why our nation is a broke, straight, sinking. I hate thinking that.
Now, keep in mind, this is why our nation is a boat. Keep that straight singing. So now these women are responsible for our nation not being shit. Like, congratulations, ladies.
Congratulations.
Your vaginas having more than one penis in them has ruined the whole nation. You fucked up everything.
Ah!
This is why Trump got elected.
Trump's your faces while our nation is a broke, straight sinking. I hate thinking that these are future mamas up by chilling. They fucking a different nigga every time they get the feeling too. I'm willing.
Yeah. So not that these different, no one says, I hate thinking that these are future fathers of our chilling. They fucking a different woman every time they get the feeling too. You'll never hear those lyrics. You never gonna hear them lyrics.
To go the extra kilo, need it just to see my senorita get her pillow on the side of my bed where no good ever stayed. House and doctor was the games we used to play, but now it's real jazz and bear.
So he's like, hey man, look, well, I'm gonna get me a woman one day and let her sleep on the side of the bed while I don't let these hoes sleep, okay? And that's when things will get real, okay? Listen to that scratching.
What?
With a future player, real player, not no flop. Having the very best of life, lots to stake and carry on. Smoking an ounce a weekend every single day with personal freak, Nick. Tricking these holes in polo clothes, life as you can see it, but you can set.
Right there, I'm like, oh, that's a good, sound like a good time. I'm a player, I'm getting a lot of money, I'm eating good food, you know, I guess my life is sweet. Yes, big boy, imagine that. I do want to imagine that. That's a nice life. But then these women, their vaginas had to come fuck it up.
Deception. Looking into your eyes, I see your weapon and it's depressing. They're digging up in your thighs, even deposits, keep your closets open, knocking your boots and jaws, hoping to get you strong like bell bars. Steadily calling me Antoine.
So essentially, looking into your eyes, I see your weapon. They say your mind is a weapon. So basically, your mind is depressing, it's terrible. And you letting dudes fuck you and leave deposits inside your vagina, and it's now ruined you. You are a worthless woman now. It's depressing.
It's open, knock your boots and jaws, hoping to get you strong like bell bars. Steadily calling me Antoine, cause you thinking that you my lady, bitch, don't play me cause you're janky. I wanted to hit that ass with me and a goodie, we got danky, so thank thee.
So he's like, look, you calling me Antoine, cause you, but this big boy to you because you a hoe. And the only reason I was not being, hanging out with you that day is cause I was high and I wanted to fuck that, but that's the most value you'll ever have to me, cause you be letting dudes fuck. Yeah, literally, like, yes, both. I want to fuck you. You are also valueless.
You wanted that stuff, don't play galistic game. You was the only one to blame. A nigga don't even know your name. It's a shame. You cocking them up and fucking a nigga like Tupac up.
Now, that's, that line right there is the most interesting line. Fucking a nigga like Tupac up. Tupac was convicted of holding a woman down while his boys raped her. So, you know, as much as people worship at the throne of Pac, and they talk about they want to see these like biopics and shit, I feel like we about to have another round of NWA, because if they depict some sympathetic version of this rape case, or you know, like, this is 2017. Like, I think the biggest conflict, biggest conflict on my social media experiences is that life has moved on and niggas don't want to.
Come on.
Like the world has moved on to certain shit where they're like, no, we are validating and considering these different people's point of view that we used to not care about.
Right.
And your ass either got to get with the program or get roasted. Now, I'm not saying that anything is necessarily happening to these guys, but they start crying like, you know, like babies, because they sound like white people.
Come on.
They sound like white people. Like how white men in comedy now talk about PC and how difficult it is. Meanwhile, white dudes are dominating the comedy scene and get most of the paying gigs, and they have all the late night shows. And yet, if you talk to the average white comedian, he's bitching and crying about how basically, essentially, in his world, no woman that they don't know, no brown person that they don't know should ever get anything. No TV shows, no stand-up spots, nothing. In their world, white dudes are the funniest people. Everybody else is getting some type of affirmative action. That is how a lot of dudes sound when it comes to these type of, like, these type of situations, where it's like, yeah, you can't just go around calling people tranny anymore. Okay. You can't make jokes about people's gender orientation or sexual orientation, mm-hmm, without people letting you know that they disagree with those jokes.
Correct.
And all of a sudden it's like they sound like those white dudes, like, oh god, here we go with the PC culture. Mafia. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, no, they just don't agree with you, and you used to didn't have to hear from them.
Correct. Now you got to. They've always been there.
Right.
That's the thing. People gotta realize these groups that are protesting and angry and bad, they've always been there, but now they got a platform where you can't avoid them.
Yeah. All right. Let me get back to this shit.
I'm leaving this supposed to be the...
Oh, yeah, but I'm sorry. Yeah, so Tupac got convicted for rape. Like, holding someone down, at least accessory to rape. I don't know what the exact charge, but that was like a thing. And at that time, and probably still to this day, a lot of people, a lot of men, mostly believe that that bitch set Tupac up. You know, like, I think they even have, I'll play it later on, you'll hear the clip, but yeah, this is fucked up. You know,
fucking a nigga like Tupac up. I'm leaving this post to be the flowers and wait, don't get me. See, I gotta be feeding my daughter, teach her to be that natural woman. She'll be waiting to exhale while you other hoes be dumb and dumb.
Same. And that's, I think, when we hear people talk about how they don't like Kendrick Lamar's, like, I need my woman to be natural, not like these other women, is kind of awesome. Like, they hear it like from that. Like, you got to consider it's a backdrop going back years and years and years and years of pitting one type of woman against other type of women.
Of course.
And so it is that kind of like, you can be, you can celebrate a woman, but it's, people can't, at least for most men, can't conceive of a way of celebrating women without putting other women down. You know? So that's, you know, so when he says that, when Big Boy's like, I'm gonna teach my daughter to be a natural woman, and the rest of y'all is gonna be some hoes and y'all gonna be dumb. Yeah, you got a lot of women out there that, you know, like I said, beats jamming, they might love the song, they might love Outkast, but this is fucked up to them. Like, Yeah, you know, and some women will believe in this shit. They will go up for it. They think, he ain't talking about me. I ain't no hoe. People have been skating by on that for years. My whole life, rappers have been able to say the most misogynistic, fucked up shit and then go, well, the only person that would be offended by it is the hoe. So if you offended by it, then you a hoe, you know? And if you not, then I wasn't talking about you, you know, and we've let that be the low ass bar for brothers my whole life.
Right. And it's to the point where women are like, nah, fuck y'all niggas. That's not going to be the bar. You need to raise your standards. And then you have to hear them crying.
Yep. All right. So I just want y'all to hear this last clip.
The black on black lack no star. When it's attention so that no one knows who us are. Talk bad about her nigga, guaranteed to snap like raw. Straps sticking together like grandma and grandpa. In this doggy dog world. Kitty cats be scratching on my furry coat to curl. Up with me and my roller kibbles and bits I want to earl. Cause most of the girls that we was liking in high school now they dyking.
Now, what's interesting about that, he basically said these women trying to get up on him now, make him want to throw up. Cause they want to fuck him. And he said, also throws in a little homophobia. Cause it's like, cause most of the girls, you know, that we grew up with in high school, now they dyking and then they took it out. But on the original, it used to be like nasty bitch. So I guess they realized that's when people were like too far.
Too
take
far,
this
too
out.
Much.
But yeah, like, you know, it's a lot of shit like that. And then at the end, I guess it's not that much longer. Hold on.
Having no mercy for the disrespect there was. Some be hanging around the crew looking for funds. Dumb, deaf and fine. They be asking me all about mine, how she doing, how she be. I know she's sipping that wine behind my back. They squawk like vultures. Off and on like twins of coaches, baby. Hey, faking it like they sculptured nails. But they can go to hell and lay what is the fuck. Cause they burn it anyway. Big boy user and abuser.
Since they burning anyway, you can use them and abuse these women. They out here having sex, y'all. They probably got STDs or something, even though we talked about having sex with them several times during the song. That's the part I want people to hear. So they took the sample from the Goody Mob was like Freaks, Holiday Got Raped, Freaks, so it is with literally saying like these women are sexual freaks, like they have sex then they change their mind and say they got raped. This song is fucking jamming. Like I have listened to this song a million times without really considering the lyrics.
Correct.
Or thinking about it, or no, I know all the fucking words, but I'm now 38.
Right. And when you view something at a different age, like as you get older and you get quote unquote, the thing people don't tell you about quote unquote being woke is that you can't go back to sleep. Like, it's like once you know, it's something that triggers you that you're like, okay. I wish I could go to the ignorant spot, but I can't and I have to say something.
And these dudes were like 20 years old when they made this.
Right.
You know, like I'm not, like this isn't even to say,
Because
when I was 20-something, woo! Yeah, this isn't even to try to, like, make it seem like this is the only outcast problem.
Mm-mm.
I think, you know, it's men, we're socialized like this, it's youth, you're young, you say shit, and they may, who knows, they may still be on this, I don't know. But my point being, that moment is captured forever. It was jamming to a lot of people.
Yes, sir.
A lot of... I do think the trend is to be like, I was woke from day one, always, now, because people have to be on brand for lack of a better term.
I was asleep for a long time.
I just think for lack of a better term, people have to be on brand now more. Like, there is no consideration given anymore because the point is the point, and then anything else around it kind of softens the point. So I just think for a lot of this shit, whether it's Kendrick, whether it's my favorite, you know, one of my favorite Outkast songs, whether it's Mind Sex, by the Dead Prez. Another one of my favorites is like, it sounds so positive. I love this this song on whose album is this shit on? On Black Star's album. It's called Brown Skin Lady.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So positive, but it's also very much, this is the way to be a good woman, mm-hmm. from two men.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's very much trained into our society. Like, that's why fucking Tyrese thinks he can write a book.
Yeah, that's where they go, I like the way you talk.
Yeah.
Like, you write, right.
Now you do your thing, and everybody want to see a new idol.
You like what?
See your thing.
I like girls with that.
Let me, I'll play it. Hold on. I fucking love this song.
Yes.
Everybody gotta have a new idol when they see you sing. And everybody gotta have a new idol when they see you sing.
Fresh of the Tony Rebels, vegetables at African street festivals where incredible women is plentiful. Over the years I met a few, none of them compared to you, preparing you to make food bearable, something terrible. Blessy, you fruitful, beautiful, smart, lovable, huggable, doable like art, suitable to be part of my life. Copper tone, oh you copyright infringement. Pay, you been this tense since way back in the day. It's like I'm standing there, you know, appreciating God's design, and then you showed up.
It's like you read my mind. Damn, she's fine. I think I had a R.E. in front of that.
See if she did to get with a cat like me.
I like the way you walk. I like the way you walk. I like the way you walk.
I like the way you
walk. I like the way you walk. I like the way you walk. Want you to do that dance. And everybody on the avenue, I know when the city is in. It's all the God. Everybody on the avenue, I know when the city is in.
Oh, my bad. I'm forgetting to analyze. Anyway, even in that first verse, it's about this woman, like, being a tool for procreation. Like, it's not necessarily, simply about, you know, appreciating her. It's like, preparing you to make fruit bearable, something terrible. So it's like, yes, because your role is to have my baby. Like, that's the goal. I'm a man, you're a woman. When I quote unquote select you, it's time for you to start thinking about having a kid, you know. In the last verse, same thing. My brown lady creates environments for having brown babies. I know, like, it's, you know, it's the same thing, man. It's, you know, and like I said, this isn't a diss to those. It's just, this is how even the quote unquote good dudes, when you're praising a woman, is how men are taught and socialized to look at women as, you know, for reproduction, essentially. Like, even in the Outkast song, it was praising a certain type of woman by dissing all these other women, which was, these women out here being promiscuous and having a kid and babies and shit, they gonna be terrible mamas, they letting everybody fuck them, but I'm gonna have my queen on my side of the bed one day, and that's like, you know, my daughter's not gonna be like these women. So in a way, yeah, they're praising a certain type of woman, but then that's by nature this to every other type of woman. Like, it didn't seem that complex. And I know we're on the way on a tangent, but I was watching that go down the timeline this morning, and I was like, oh yeah, I see, that's been an issue my whole life with all men rappers.
Yes.
No, so to me, I don't know why people would think Kendrick would be an exception, as far as like, no, you can't say that about him or J. Cole or whoever my favorite is. Like, if your favorite is a black dude, they probably got some issues about women by nature of just being a black dude. There's very few dudes in general that don't have some hangups around women. And then when you add in the spectrum of race, I mean, you get some fucked up results.
Yeah, and I think my philosophy on entertainment is similar to yours. I don't hold them up to a standard. I think some people literally hold these people up to a standard. If you come out and present something to the masses, I hold you up to this standard. And I'm not always like that because I know people are flawed, people do fucked up shit, and people say problematic stuff. Everybody does. So I'm not holding you up to a standard. You're not running for office. You're not in any position to make decisions that can directly influence my life. So I feel like I personally am not holding you up to no standards.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, this is how I enjoy shit. This, right. But it took me learning and seeing other people and hearing their perspectives to see that other people don't view it this way.
Correct.
But I don't think there's much consideration, because people don't really, it's really hard for people to step outside of themselves. So they don't take your word for it. Like, at least it feels like people aren't taking each other's word for it. Mm-hmm. Like, if someone tells me I don't watch blank because it affects me in this way, I go, okay.
Yeah, me too. And
but I think a lot of people's gut reaction is, you're just complaining for no reason, or you're being a baby, or you snowflake, or whatever, you know, just some type of pejorative insult, rather than to be like, I believe you, this fucks with you. It doesn't fuck with me.
Right.
You know, I can watch a lot of shit that people, I watch violent shit. It doesn't fuck with me in the way, when people talk about, I watch scary movie and I can't sleep. I'm like, that must suck for you. I watch a scary movie and I'm like, that was a fucking movie. No, that's not gonna happen. There are no aliens in real life,
right,
that are gonna come down and fucking, mm-hmm, fuck my face and make a baby come out of my chest. There are none of, that does not happen. That is not a real thing. I'm not scared of that. You know, so it's different for different people.
Correct.
I don't think there's enough deference shown, and that's why I think 90% of the arguments I see on social media are about people who literally just have two different ways of viewing the world and two, right, different ways of viewing entertainment, fighting with each other. Like, they're really, correct, fighting with each other. You're not going to convince somebody that this shit wasn't misogynistic.
Right.
And you're not, at the same time, and if they don't want you to watch it, they're not going to convince you not to watch it.
Nope, they are not.
So I've stopped engaging in those conversations in general because it's fruitless.
Right.
I haven't seen people go, and maybe people will give me hope. Maybe I will see it at some point, but for the most part, I don't even see people going, well, I see what you're saying, and
nope, this everybody is fucked come up out with you wrong, and then it just blows across up and down your timeline.
Yeah, I'm just like, I see what you're saying. I like the song, but that's a good point. I see what you're saying. I like to stand up. That's a good point. I see what you're saying. I like this movie, TV show.
You better than me. I see what you're saying, and I just let shit go down my timeline. I don't jump in. I don't, not unless somebody comes to me, but you know, most people aren't going to come to me about shit like that anyway. So, you ask me, I tell you my opinion, but overall, I just let people say what they want to say.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I don't even comment. I'm like, okay.
My friend, and Facebook is so messy for that, because my friends be having conflicting ass opinions and sub talking, right, about each other.
I have to scroll past.
And it always goes right to the shit. I'm like, I'll be like, man, what I don't want to see is a bunch of people arguing about, mm-hmm, Kendrick Lamar. And they'd be like, yo, you want to see it.
Right. And I'm not even going to lie. Y'all tag me this shit. I untag myself. Untag.
Right. Nope. So, but yeah, man, that just made me think about that shit today, and that's why I like white people news, because we just had a 40 fucking minute conversation about some black people news shit, and it's depressing. It's, you know, the end result is black men are being fucked up and willfully fucked up and have been fucked up, and they're not, by the way, there's a ton of people that probably listen to this, there's a ton of people that have read women's opinions on this, they are gonna not budge, because what, they don't have to care, so they're gonna,
right, use that, have to care.
They're gonna use that card where I don't gotta care, and they're gonna hit the button. That's it.
Your deject button and keep it going.
Yeah, I like this dude and I'm jamming. That's it. Like, you know, and like I said, for some people it's really just that, it's not that deep. Like, they really are like, I like this song because it's jamming. I'm not gonna argue with you. Nope. You know, I just like it, and there's some people that are, I like this song and this jamming, and fuck you if you don't like it. Right, fuck like, everything you have to say. So I don't know, man. Anyway,
so much anger.
The next episode we did was just a free nerd off, which we didn't get any comments for. We did have a poll, for unlocking your phone with your face. It was an episode of Nerd Off with me, Karen, Amber, Black Chick Watching, and Jay LaRie. And you guys may know her as Blazing Bitch. And one of the new things that was coming up was you might be able to unlock your phone with your face on the new iPhone. And I said, was the poll bad idea, great idea, or meh? 8% of you guys thought it was a great idea. Only 8%, which means almost 40% of you thought it was a bad idea. Thought it was a meh idea. And then 55% of you said bad idea.
Yep.
Probably because you're worried about, you know, somehow, you know, somebody getting into your phone by just turning it on your face and unlocking it.
Mm-hmm.
Totally understand that. I know a lot of y'all are heathens. Y'all here cheating on people and shit, and you don't want to get caught while you're taking a nap.
Then none of that. Just the way the government is, the police officers take it, turn it, doing your face, all of a sudden they have access to your fucking telephone. No thank you.
Mm-hmm. We also have episode 1412, March Sadness, named after that ill-fated police undercover operation that got a lot of prostitutes and johns in the sting.
Yep.
DB Trill says, my dad worked for American Airlines growing up, so I'm very familiar with not being able to wear what you want when flying, except in my case, I had to wear button-up shirts with collars, which was ridiculous, but luckily that never stopped me from getting on the airline. The airline should be ashamed.
And I guess the problem that I have is that with the process, hey, they don't work for you. These people, a lot of times, don't work. They're not employees. Now, I understand the policy. Well, hey, y'all come over here and cut a fucking fool, we will put you off and the employee be in trouble. Okay, that's reasonable.
Right.
But as far as, like, the passengers, people boarding the plane, there's nothing that goes. I know they got, like, first class, second class. You know, they call that shit out. But they don't go, well, everybody else on a free buddy pass. Like, people have no idea. So, to the common person sitting out there, it looks like you're basically attacking a paying customer. Even though they're not paying, I don't know that.
Yep. I agree. Ann says, I used to travel with a family pass for my dad, too, and we also had to dress appropriately when we traveled. My dad said it was because we had to be ready in case we got bumped to first class, and we usually did. We were the best-dressed people in first class, though. I'll just say this. It feels antiquated to me and unnecessary. Arian Fisher says, men don't benefit from birth control. Sounds like 52% of men who shouldn't be fucking anybody but themselves.
Come on.
They're the same ones who say that baby can't be mine. We only had sex once. Shake my damn head. Silverback says, yes. Arian also says, I wish that bitch Rachel Dolezal would go the fuck away. Leave us alone. The media is a huge problem because they're letting her cook with this. I identify as black enough, though I'm white. Even though I'm white. Nonsense. And now she has a book to promote too. It was difficult according to her to get that book out because she had to go through like 50 to 100 publishers because they rejected it,
and that should tell you nobody gonna buy that shit.
Yeah, nobody's gonna buy that shit. I really do feel like this is her last legs.
I really fucking,
you know, and I think if she continues to keep pushing this, eventually even the people that are low-key either supporting or kind of sympathetic to her, like, well, maybe she has a mental condition, she will eventually wear on their nerves too.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually people will be, because there's only so much before it's like, what is wrong? Are you just chasing fame? Like, what the fuck do you want out of this? Like, go back to your very white place, pretend to be black, right? Nobody's gonna call you out.
You have a platform on it, so you really need to go away.
Yeah. And the thing I keep noticing people that low-key try to defend her always keep forgetting or leaving out, and that sounds, at this point I'm assuming it's purposeful, them fake hate crimes. Like, you know, people want to give her credit for, you know, running the NAACP up in that area and shit, but it's like, what about the fake hate crimes?
Which popped the whole thing off from the beginning.
What about, you know, terrorizing her son with that? That is fucked up. And they just happened to drop the investigation, wink, wink, because she was starting to look like the fucking suspect when this shit dropped.
Mm-hmm.
But that ain't helping us. No. Anybody that thinks that's helping black people is a fucking, you're a coon. You are a fucking coon. Faking a hate crime is not helping anybody. So no, it's not okay, man. And That I know the person like that does not care about me and you. They don't. They care about themselves first and foremost, and their whiteness and their ability to put on a cloak of us. That's it. Anyways, they can't wait to post her ridiculous comments as headlines and get everybody talking about it. Whenever I hear about that woman, it's 100 all day, every day. Yeah, well, hopefully this will be the end. Farr says, yeah, I mean, well, close to the end. I still think she's going to go back to white and get that last minute of 15. Mm-hmm. Farr says, yet another crazy aspect of Dolezal's story is how it seeks to erase black people who present with more European features. It's not like there aren't black people who have fair skin, straight hair, or light eyes. More than likely, if you're in the South, Texas, and LA, you got fam that's black but looks white. They have a different black experience, but it's genuinely black experience with its own set of nuances. She demeans that by putting on an affectation of blackness and further attempting to quantify that blackness, what blackness is based on, what blackness is based on that affectation. It's also ignored that American blackness is more than a race. It's a specific cultural ethnicity that's marked by more than simply pain and oppression. I honestly don't see why anyone is paying this woman anything more than just ugh. Ann says, one more comment. I don't know if you ever heard of this blog called Abagon.com. It is a collection of short opinion pieces, less than 500 words, about things that affect the black community. It hits on a lot of the same points you discuss. You don't always agree with everything the writer says, but the posts are well done, thought-provoking, well worth reading. I tried to click, and I got Whoa, Don't Go There by McAfee Web Advisor, so I don't know what's up with that site. Mm-mm. D. Ramsey, Ph. Dunn says, I am here for all of the shade thrown towards Rachel wannabe black so bad, but you are not. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, I love your podcast and your friends in my head. I talk to you in my head when I listen to this podcast, but when you read that story about the white supremacist group saying we should walk in their shoes and see their okay people, I started screaming, no, 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 fuck that shit so loud I thought my neighbors were going to bang on the ceiling. Ooh, I was hot. And you want to know what's interesting about that too? That felt like what Muslim people end up saying whenever there's like a terrorist attack and people try to blame all Muslims. So I wouldn't be shocked if the root of that is still some type of parody. Like someone thinking it's funny, like, oh, we're a religion of peace. Like y'all were referring to white supremacy as a religion. Y'all were like, some of the word choice felt very much like, ha ha, I got you guys, because y'all agree with this when Muslims say it. Like, I don't know. Max says, see, that's some self-hate right there. All these folks who guess black at the on the chicken joint. Yeah, Karen did. Mm-hmm. Y'all know doggone well that there's always 3 minutes left before spicy is up and 4 minutes before there's some more white meat. Folks are used to that. They wouldn't flip out over that. True.
Black people be like, let me guess, 3 minutes on spicy?
Yep. Anonymous says, also, I enjoy your all white people news episode. Only the That's Y'all Man segment bakes my biscuit. Sim Silva says, white people news is most quite relaxing. Men that don't benefit from birth control don't get any, and they are just plain hateful. Rachel, go away. Rachel, go away. It's peak whiteness simply because she is allowed a platform despite being a public fraud and right. Regularly disregarding the hurt she inflicts every time her ass pops up. However, when y'all played troop, I got my sixth grade life and stood on my desk and sang along. Forgot all about that chick. And EVE says, I understand the dress code for people on standby tickets. Most airlines have those rules, but the problem is it's open for interpretation, so you're at the mercy of the ticketing agent who may not like you for whatever reason or be racist or sexist. This biggest issue, I think, is the case is that business casual for a 10-year-old, seriously, that's just ridiculous. I literally, people have been trying to come up with ways to defend it.
You can't.
I don't understand. I don't understand why the dress code wouldn't be the same as for paying customers. Right. It feels antiquated. It feels... And it leaves up too much shit to interpretation.
Right.
And inherently, almost all dress codes, to some extent, are racist and sexist because the people who make them are racist and sexist. It's not fucking rocket science. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just people saying, well, there's already rules. And I'm like, yeah, well, those fucking rules seem arbitrary.
Right.
I don't know why that's so controversial to say, but apparently it was. Rachel Dolezal is the final form of the evolution of Becky. She is Becky Palpatine. I wish... I was saying she's Becky, like, Frieza's final form. I wish she would go away, but as long as the media keeps giving this fraud attention, she'll keep popping up like a cockroach in the dark. Yeah. Aww. I mean, I just don't think
the media, see, I don't, this is like, it may be me and my most cynical, it's not even about whether she wants the attention or not at this point. I don't think she has much more she can do to get attention. And I don't think she's very smart, to be honest. She does not seem very smart. Like, she didn't get nothing paid out of this. I don't understand it. I can't remember if it was on this show or not, but I was talking to somebody. I said, that's how you know she ain't black. Because a black woman would have got paid something, whether she would have started her own business, whether she would have got her own podcast popping, whether she would have,
she'd been relevant in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Blog, a writing gig. She would have monetized the fuck out of this.
There'd have been a Dollar Zal hive somewhere.
A GoFundMe. Like something. Sisters are way too fucking,
we have to be creative, but go ahead.
Yeah, sisters are way too fucking,
that's when I said self-tanning cream.
Yep, something. It would have been some beauty, something. She would not have just, a sister wouldn't have still just been doing weave. It would have been something else.
I mean, you do black hair. I mean, you mean to tell me you could have made your own line of hair care products? That probably would have been, people like, you know what? Fuck you, bitch. But this shit makes my curls pop.
She would have, a sister would have found a way to innovate. Well, there is no way, they would have made a way. Anyway, should the 10-year-old have been kicked off the plane for her leggings? No. What does that matter anyway? Yes, rules are rules. 8.3% of y'all say yes, rules are rules. So y'all don't give a fuck about what anybody thinks. And no, what does that matter anyway? 92% of people on my side. Mm-hmm. And that's fair, you know.
Yeah, because then you start this big ass controversy because customers who actually pay can't tell the difference. So when they can't tell the difference, it causes a problem. And so now airlines won't act crazy, but like, well, we got these rules. Well, bitch, they don't know. All they know was that you singled out this family and you made a scene and you made an issue and they had to go change clothes. And the customers are like, this is horrific. And for customers, I would want this shit to happen to me. Why are you doing it? All you're doing is causing unnecessary problems. The rules shouldn't fucking be there anyway. As long as you ain't coming in your goddamn drawers, what is the problem?
Yep. Episode 1413, Church Street Harassment, where we got our girl Nina from Project Fandom on. Silverback says, Si, I grew up with my grandmother, God bless her beautiful black soul, cooking steaks with mushrooms and onions in the oven, aka well done as fuck. However, she was a great cook and what's wrong about it? It's not the mic that's the problem. Okay. You just gotta talk into it.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, sometimes you're talking, you're looking at me, but you got a mic over there.
My bad, it's okay. Y'all.
She was a great cook though and would make all sorts of cultural food, stir fries, quiches, and even lamb, which you have to cook rare to medium rare due to lack of fat. My granny seen the blood coming out of the leg of lamb and exclaimed, what kind of white people shit is this?
Oh Lord.
Much
you overcook a lamb, you might as well eating rubber.
Yeah.
Lamb is delicious.
I'm just gonna make up a slave narrative that we didn't have access to as good doctors and healthcare as white people, so we probably had to cook all our shit well done.
Right, because if you fuck around and undercook, you would get sick. I really think that goes back, I was upset at slavery, like, because we got, like, the leftovers and the aftermath and, you know, the shit that, you know, other people couldn't. They were like, we ain't got no use for this. Here you go, niggas, find a useful way to eat them. And we did, because that's the only way you can rationalize people eating chitlins, which is actually pig intestines. That's the only way you can rationalize that as people consuming that as food, was like, hey, we cut up air. We use
what nonsense is this?
Right. We use every other part of the pig but this. And so we had to be creative. So I guarantee you, that's why it's tradition. People like, they cooked the hell out of shit and fried the hell out of shit, because they were like, when we didn't, we got sick.
Yeah, I'm obviously making this up right now. I don't know that that's true. Okay, I just want people to know, like, this is my contribution to the Willie Lynch myth, is that black people overcook food because they didn't want to die from not cooking it enough, because the white man wouldn't let a doctor come.
Right, so if you got sick, you just lost a family member, like, fuck it, we just gonna burn the hell out of everything.
Like I said, this is not based on any fact. Okay, don't write up here talking about it's not true. I'm telling you, I just made it up. I don't know that any of that is true, but I'm a roll with that as the myth that'll be my Johnny. We're gonna call it the Roddy Lynch letter, I'm gonna say the white man wrote it in the letter. All right, my granny seemed to let, oh yeah, what kind of white shit is this? Much like y'all, I was blessed to eventually work in a restaurant industry where I got to enjoy peak quality cuts of meat at rare, medium, rare temperatures. Mm. I agree with Nina about seasoning. There are some sick individuals out here, guess the race, who enjoy just getting raw meat, cooking it, and then eating it. I don't know who those people are. Mm-mm. Without batting an eye at the salt, pepper, garlic, Italian seasoning, or the paprika, I ease my steaks rare to medium rare. If I don't trust you, damn, now a nigga need some hibachi steak lunch. Cereal, milk is flame emojis, Karen.
Thank you.
I hate to admit it, but I don't know what the hell Nina was talking about. You gotta drink cereal milk, guys. It's ridiculous. Not drinking cereal. What, you just throwing away cereal milk in your house?
I've seen people do that before.
That's ridiculous.
I got found it.
But I've seen her chicken wings. I shouldn't be surprised. She takes like a she nibbles on the chicken wing and like it's done. So
why don't she just eat chicken tenders then? She just eliminate the problem.
She mentally likes to say she has some wings.
just skip the bone.
Keep it real. I will add more cereal to that existing milk and eat that compound to compound the sweetness of the cereal milk. Delicious. Got so much love for y'all on the podcast show. Stays being on point, motivational, comedic, and always outspoken. Thanks, Silverback.
Thank you.
D Ramsey, PH Dunn says, love this episode. My dad loves all his stuff overcooked. Gross. I know, but hey, he is old school. Yep. Llama Llama Time says, hey Karen and Rod, in regards to the chocolate portion of this episode, here's a bit about cacao. I hope this is pronounced right. I don't know, it could be cacao. Is the bean that chocolate, cocoa, and cocoa butter, etc. comes from. So is it pronounced cocoa? I don't know. The higher the percentage of cocoa, I don't know, the purer the chocolate. The cacao tree is a smallish evergreen tree that originated in South America. Cacao seeds grow in, what kind of Wikipedia book report is this? Large oval pods located at the base of the tree. Trees are mostly grown and cultivated in West Africa now. Love you both. Also, Karen, eat cereal the same way, milk first. I let the cereal and milk sit in the bowl for a bit, then it gets soggy, then I crunch. Well, not really, the cereal is soggy anyway. So I'm a cereal terrorist too, maybe like level 3 threat.
Oh Lord.
JW says, steak, medium to medium rare. Anything else is raw or rubber. Who doesn't drink cereal milk? That's just as good as the cereal. While I may not agree with the outside the bowl milk before the cereal agenda, Karen, I will stand by you on the cereal milk drinking to the death, or probably just a social media battle or something. Great show. Love you guys, JW. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shara says, Shira says, I use just enough cashew milk in my cereal so that there isn't any left after I'm done eating. I use usually one cup of cereal, half a cup of milk. When I was a kid, my brother would add sugar to a cereal. Have you ever seen globs of sugar at the bottom of a bowl full of leftover cereal milk? Disgusting.
I have.
Ugh.
A sugar high.
Mac says, what is the point of paying more money for steak only to make it rubber? Better off just saving the money and eating a burger or chopped steak. Waiter should just take the order and bring back a chopped steak and call it a day. And if you can't waste, and you can't waste cereal milk, that's must drink stuff. Unless you're eating some trash adult type cereal. But even then, don't let it go to waste. Oh, did y'all ever get to taste that cereal milk flavored ice cream y'all mentioned a few weeks back? Oh, not yet. Mm-mm. Just out of curiosity, do y'all see the comments on the poll, or do y'all want comments for the poll to written down in the regular reply session? We see the comments for the poll, and I prefer that y'all leave them there, but we'll read them either way. Falcons Diva says, so I had not commented on the cereal issue in the past, but I'm sick of y'all harassing Karen about her choices. I too pour my milk in the bowl first. Wow, y'all coming out of the bowl closet.
You're right.
Everybody's coming out of the bowl. It started when I was younger, before I knew the weight of the milk carton corresponded to the amount of milk in the carton. Imagine pouring a nice bowl of Fruit Loops only to have a limited amount of milk end up in the bowl. All the top cereal from the milk passed through, but for which there was not enough milk to enjoy. What a waste. By the time I got my bowl right, the cereal at the bottom was almost too soggy to eat. I was too young to fuss at the culprit that left two swallows of milk in the refrigerator, but from that day forward, I poured my milk in first and then added the cereal. Additionally, I like a high milk to cereal ratio. To pouring the milk in first helps me So pouring the milk in first helps me to properly manage that ratio. Finally, I hate soggy cereal and I get distracted easily, so this prevents my cereal from getting soggy. But I did not start my comment intending to write a thesis on cereal, but you did. I really wanted to say that, like y'all, I watch a lot of TV. I've never really shamed anyone for their choices except for when Scandal first came out. Every black woman that I know that watches TV and did not watch Scandal received a lecture from me on the importance of watching the first premiere drama with a black female lead. I shamed quite a few people into watching Scandal that first season, LOL.
You know what's something about me? I didn't break. I was like, nope.
Yep. Some people don't break. On 45, I think he focuses more on how he can undo everything President Obama has accomplished. He is so obsessed with the best president in our history. It's pitiful. Great show as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
EVE says, I eat my cereal dry because milk is gross, so I can't fault anyone for the way they eat their cereal, any kind of food except Kit Kats. Still side eyeing you, Rod. Oh, refresh?
No, changeover. It's 120.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's 120? I thought there was one time. All right, guys. I'm going to the next session. Give me a second.
No problem.
Yeah, sometimes when I click on the chat, mm-hmm. it'll show me, like, where I was last time I clicked on it. And then not real time. It takes, like, 10, 15 seconds, and then it'll be like, okay, this is how much time is actually left. So that's what happened that time. No, my bad, y'all.
Because I seen it creeping up. I was like, well, they're going to cut off a little bit now.
Yeah, no, you right. It was gonna cut off in a little bit.
Y'all listening afterwards could have hit us, but the chat room gonna be like, hey, where they go?
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, they love us like Egyptians. All right, I'm inviting you back on the screen.
Okay.
All right, the poll was, do you watch any TV show or movie that people find problematic, yes or no? 87% of our audience 87%. Oh God. No, what is happening?
It's not responding.
There you go.
It was so dangerous out here, guys.
It wasn't responding.
There was reverb everywhere. I'm sorry we went through that, but we went through it together.
I was clicking.
Do you watch any TV show or movie that people find problematic, yes or no? 87% of our audience said yes. Mm-hmm. 13% said no, and I really would love to look at what y'all watch on TV.
Oh, come on.
I just want to know
is
if y'all
all documentaries. What I mean,
I want to know if y'all lying. Planet? I feel like everybody watches at least one thing that people are like, but okay. Silverback Server says, yes, I'm going to watch Ghost in the Shell. I do feel sort of rude wanting to see it so bad. I'm not watching it for ScarJo. I'm watching it because I used to watch the anime as a kid and get lost in it. I'm watching it because it looks so beautiful. Still makes me feel like I'm contributing to the normalization of whitewashing. I'm gonna be honest, man. Every time I saw that trailer, I wanted to see that movie. I can't lie. Like, I think the popular thing to say is like, I was so woke. I was disgusted. Soon as she came on screen. No, man. That shit looks fucking good.
It looks beautiful.
It looks detailed. It looks like they got some of the iconic fight scenes from the movie, right?
Correct.
I'm not gonna see it. Mm-mm. And it's not, you know, it's not a boycott. It's not a political stance. It just, if you don't even care to get the character right, it's hard for me to believe you care to make a good movie. You know, and maybe if I saw like overwhelmingly positive reviews, maybe that would chip down at me where I'd be like, well, damn, it's got a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. Maybe it's good, you know, like, but I haven't seen anyone talking about it. They didn't do screeners, which is another
because it's strange. It must have been pushing and promoting that video. If they were doing screeners, you'd have seen something out about the movie in advance.
Yeah, they didn't do screeners for a lot of people.
Yeah, probably for a reason, because they were like, we don't want people trashing it because we already know it's problematic.
You know, and also I just didn't want to have a okay movie going experience.
Right.
That was going to just lead to me not wanting to talk about the movie I saw because I don't want to argue about it.
Nope, I don't watch shit to argue.
Yeah, like I do watch things because I do want to talk to people about them.
Right.
You know, it's why we do this podcast, why we do reviews, and we love when people leave comments and shit. I love talking about movies. I don't like having debates about movies, and I don't like talking, I don't like arguing about movies. But the thing is, it's even worse than that when it comes to some of these fucked up movies. The discussion you're going to be having isn't even going to be about the movie.
Nope.
You know, and I agree that whitewashing in Hollywood is out of control and fucking ridiculous. So it's almost like you just be preaching to the choir, and I'd be like, yeah, I guess you're right, you know?
Right.
All right, episode 1414, Judas Guardian Manny's, where we had Ashanti on from the MTR network. Forrest says, now that you mention it, Negan is essentially the Saddam Hussein of the Z-Pac. He's the apple cart holding that shit, whole shit together. If you take him out, and the next thing you know, the saviors become ISIS. That makes me even more interested to see what the fallout will be of the toppling of Negan. Yeah, I think we're in for another season of Negan shit.
Yep.
So I think
by the middle or the end of next season, whatever they're going to do with that storyline will be ended.
I think if they would have killed him now, we would have, like, we would get to see this fallout from the toppling of him. I think however they work up to killing him, the fallout will be minimalized.
Yes.
You know. Max says, I was thinking of that analogy too. Ruthless dictator keeps things at bay. Dia says, I can't take any more Eugene think pieces, LOL. Is the reason Judith isn't with Maggie because, one, Negan met Judith. Two, Maggie isn't supposed to be a Hilltop because she's dead. Yeah, because people are like, why can't Judith be with Maggie? It's like, I don't know. You know, like, my thing is, people are like,
Maggie never went back.
Huh? She never went back, but people are like, why can't they take Judith to be with Maggie since in Alexandria they're doing all this shit? But yeah, I think Maggie's not even supposed to be alive or up there.
Right, so there would be no reason to. And don't you think he would question if he ever came back by, well, your baby?
Yeah.
Your baby disappears.
And hiding your baby is going to be difficult. And it's your baby. You don't want to give up your baby.
Right.
Judith can't be at the kingdom because if Negan did get in, he's not supposed to know that Alexandria have met the kingdom. I mean, that's if he saw Judith, right? This is my two cents. Lastly, I'm so excited for you, Karen, on your trip to Jamaica.
Thank you.
I feel you, dear. I don't know. To be honest, Judith not being that thing was more of a joke for me.
Just a running joke.
Yeah, I don't
take it that seriously.
Yeah. Amani says, I'm glad Rob mentioned the mid-season finale. My question last year was, how did Negan know about Alexandria? They killed everybody at the outpost, and Negan didn't know they're the ones who blew up his crew with the RPG until they took all their guns this season. So somebody's been snitching the whole time. I think we've said that before. And it's funny because the way that they tackled this is actually really smart. They've talked about other shit so long that I forgot that I had brought that up. But yeah, how the fuck did they ever find out about Alexandria? Somebody had to have told them where to go for them to even have that ambush and trap them. They had all the information.
It was Gregory.
You think it was Gregory? Because Karen, you thought it was Enid for a while.
I mean, as far as Alexandria, I think that was Gregory, because they made that deal with Gregory and then all this shit happened. But I do still think that Enos has something to do with Saddam. So
yeah,
I don't think they in cahoots with each other, but I think individually they both may have played some role in it.
But that's a good point. Yeah, I almost forgot that. Yeah, somebody had to tell. He says, unless Nina's right about Jesus being shifty, I think Nina's wrong, and I think Nina's only saying that because she's an atheist. She don't want to trust Jesus. Unless Nina's right about Jesus being shifty, Gregory makes the most sense. Weren't they supposed to want him dead too? There's no reason he should still be alive, especially after that satellite camp all got killed, unless he gave Negan information viable enough to stay alive. Good point. Yeah, Negan would have killed his ass or somebody. Like, you think about it, Negan only thought to kill people in Alexandria for the killing of his men. Hilltop was the people that really had beef with those guys, and he never thought about killing anyone from Hilltop over it.
No, because I don't think he knew that. He would be valid because the two people that were taken back were from Hilltop, but I don't think that they knew Jesus was with them.
Jesus with who?
Rick and him.
But why did they kill anybody on, why did they kill two people from Rick and them if he did, he knows that they killed his men at the satellite camp.
Yes.
Right. So why would he, I guess, okay, I see what you're saying. So he must have thought they killed them just on their own, like for no reason. I mean, because, I guess that's possible.
Because
the way that they've told the story, it is possible that Negan just thinks they did it for no reason or something.
Right, because in his mind it's unprovoked, because I don't think that he knows that Hilltop and Alexandra ever had that deal going.
Yeah, that's possible.
Like in my mind, I might be wrong, because, you know, they haven't said anything for him to make that connection.
But how did he know it was them that killed his men then? You know what I mean? It just feel like he got some information. Because it's somebody, possible Gregory could have told him and then left out that he made that deal.
Right, because
he could have been like, you want the people that killed your men? Or this is where they at?
But
you know?
I heard these people out here.
Yeah, right. It's possible.
Because
he's
so shady like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's
half troops and shit.
Can't wait for them to unveil all this information. Unlike a lot of people, I actually do care about this shit, and I do want to know these answers.
Me too.
Unless Nina's right about Jesus being shifty, Gregory makes most sense. Weren't they supposed to want him dead too? Okay, but since I was in the junkyard dogs being saviors early, I'm gonna ride with that prediction just so I can say I called my shot. Yeah, I think that'll be interesting, because junkyard people are not in the comics, so I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen.
Right. That's up in the air.
Yeah, I wonder if I'm gonna see if I can ask Miss Smart to be on the finale with us, because
I would like that.
She's been on so many of these reviews and so cool, so I'll see what I can do. Max says The Walking Dead needs to take advantage of our holy interstate and film some scenes on that burned out portion of I-85. Seems like the perfect setting for some Z-Pac stuff. Yeah, I don't think they can get the permits for that. Mm-mm. Dune Dragon says, hi guys, due to some glitch, my comment last week did not get posted, but I was so happy to see David correcting Enid's grammar on veggies. I had hopes of him being the regional manager of the Junkticons just to be seeing his reactions. Too bad his greasy, rapey ass had to be taken out. Maybe there will be a future webisode that shows his backstory. He was once with the Junkticons when they started their new grammar, and he was like, nope, I'm out of here.
I got a Webster dictionary, I'm out.
If Sasha was in such a suicide mode, she should have just slashed Negan deep in the leg and taken Lucille to the head anyhow. She and that cowardly lion Eugene will play a good role as the from the inside of the camp when things start flying. Eugene moves with the wind. Once he sees Negan forces falling, he will snap back. Great podcast, start prepping for withdrawal symptoms. Dune Dragon, I'm not gonna say it in a mean way, but I completely do not understand why y'all have faith in Eugene. Mm-mm. I don't see it. I'm gonna leave it at that. Trusting these white men. Mm-hmm.
I think he's sincere.
Yeah, I think he sincerely betrayed them niggas. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, no real comment except for thank you for your podcast grind. Your recast of The Walking Dead make me more excited about that show. Ashanti's Manny meme killed me. One day I'll have enough money to go premium. Until then, I'll put $5 on it whenever I can.
Thank you,
Brooklyn Shoe Babe. And the poll was, were Rick's people wrong for taking ocean-sized guns? Yes or no? Karen, what do you think?
Yeah, they should have left them with something. I understand them coming and taking them, but I think that leaving them with nothing is gonna be problematic.
Okay. The correct answer is, according to the chat room, 30% say yes, it was wrong. 70% say nope. Fuck them peoples. Max says they needed the guns. They could have left a few for defense, only with a few good shots, like three. On the other hand, if the U.S. is at war with another country, it would be frowned upon to just roll into a third autonomous country and take all of their resources for the effort without their consent. Otherwise, you declare war on those people, too. EVE says, I know what they did. They did what they had to do, but they could have left Oceanside a few guns to protect themselves. Yeah, the way that they took all the guns makes me wonder if there will be some repercussions for that.
I think it will be. I think
they're gonna have, like you said, it's gonna be something where they're gonna have to war, they're not gonna participate, they're gonna show up somehow and help, or either they're gonna keep their word, bring the guns back, and something tragic is gonna be done happen to that area while they're gone.
Yeah, because if not, then why go through all that?
Yeah, I don't think they would go this, maybe, and I know this might sound crazy, I don't think they would ever go this dark, but I could see where we don't see them, they go to war, they bring the guns back, and everybody is dead but that crazy ass little girl, and they don't have to fuck around and kill that little girl.
Mm-hmm. Alright, let's go to the voicemails. We only got three this week, and they I think they're all short. Let's see.
Karen?
Yes.
Let me find out, sir. The blood clot U.S. Postal Service, both of you think them. We're missing Theo. No worries. Me nah make it bother me. Me send it again. Especially so you go to Jamaica. You're going to need it for when the sun is beat down on your head. This week, me I send out some orders to the United States. So make a put another thing in there for you.
Aww.
And something for Rod, too. All right? No worries.
Well, I don't even know who that was. That was the most Jamaican. I feel like I want to watch that scene from Belly when they went down to Jamaica and DMX was there. I feel like I should be watching soccer or something. Doing loads of weed, smoking all kinds of weed. She called back. This was longer.
Hi, Rod and Karen. It's Katrina at Number One Feeling. That was me that just called before. I was calling back with an English translation and a couple of other things that I wanted to say. Thank you guys for reading out my letters, and I'm so glad that you enjoyed the things that I sent for you. Well, the candy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sending out some other Born Beautiful Naturals orders to the United States this week, so I'm going to place some Karen stuff and some more of the picnic bars for you. And I'm putting this on record. If you're listening, make sure that you share a packet of the picnic bars with Justin. And Justin, please get some to Turk. The other thing I want to say is, Rod, of course Kit Kats come in Four Fingers over here. Do you know that Brits are the Americans of Europe? So we're the fattest of all of Europe. So, of course, we're kind of gluttonous, just, in comparison to the United States, not as much. It's just that the flavored ones, the orange and cookies and cream ones, I couldn't find those in the Four Fingers. But I'll try and send them to you in the future, especially if you guys like them. What was the other thing I wanted to say? Oh, Karen, I'm so proud of you. I was just listening to that message with Rissa and with Leslie about going to Jamaica and the black woman kind of getaway workshop thing. I'm so happy for you. I'm going to be going there in May. I don't know when you're going to go see my mother and meet up with my sister as
aww.
Well. And I can't wait to go. Yeah, so enjoy yourself, and I'm going to have to drop a little something in the collection plate for your spending money, if I can be so specific. But in any case, love you guys, love the work that you do, and, have a great week. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, baby.
Bye. Thank you. That was so nice. Mm-hmm. And I would love more of those delicious cookies and cream Kit Kats. Those were the bomb. All right, last one. This is over 3 minutes, so hopefully it's good.
Yo, what's going on, family? This is Mr. Span, man. It's been a long time since I called y'all, and I felt like it was time for me to call, man. Y'all done had a really good week of shows, man. Y'all done had a couple things that done hit me personally, man. And I kind of wanted to talk to y'all about it, man. So I was listening to the episode, man, where y'all was talking about the like the most popular pops, and Coca-Cola won by a landslide. Pepsi wasn't even close, man. And I caught that shade, man. I caught the shade for the Sprite lovers, bro. Check this out. ain't nothing better than the Sprite, man. The ever-freshing, the effervescence, refreshing taste of a Sprite. There's nothing like it, my nigga. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, my nigga. Like, that's the best shit ever, nigga. There's nothing better than going to Wendy's, right, and getting, like, either a single, a double, or a triple with cheese, extra mayo, with a Sprite, my nigga. Now, it's like the best shit ever. And then not only that, don't give me no cup full of ice, nigga. I want my shit with no ice. Don't give me my cup full of ice and water my shit down, man. I want no ice. Not only that, it's not very hygienic either. They be putting a damn cup all over everybody's hands and then they put that shit right back in ice. Not very hygienic, my nigga. So nah, man, give me the Sprite for its effervescence and its refreshingness, man. It's the best shit in the world, bro. You cannot beat the Sprite. So I saw the shade, bro. Wasn't really appreciative. Shay, Rod, you my man and all, but wasn't really appreciative of the Shay. Now, another thing too, man, there's another thing that y'all did earlier this week. As a matter of fact, I think it was episode 1412, man, y'all had the guest race segment. Oh boy, busting open the door because he had to wait for his Popeye's chicken, man. I'm tell you right now, I knew it. He was white when y'all said he had to wait. And he bust open the door. I knew he was white. There was no way he was black. You know how I know? I don't know if y'all got this going on down south, and I don't know if this is like an East Coast thing or whatever else, but I do know here in Detroit, man, if you go to Popeye's and they tell you you got a 5 to 10 minute wait on the spicy, nigga, you going to be all right. You going to be straight. Chill, because you know what's going to happen? You about to get hooked up, nigga. Your 5-piece about to turn into an 8-piece just like that. Nigga, just wait, nigga. Just wait. You're going to get more than you even asked for, and you ain't even got to pay for it, dog. That's what's going on up here in the D. Okay, I don't know what's going on everywhere else, but I know here in the D, we know if they tell us it's a 5 to 10 minute wait on the spicy, go ahead, bro, just go ahead and wait, dog, because they about to hook you up, man, real talk. Now, although there was the shade early in the week, I do have to acknowledge, man, that, you know, you guys have done some very good things, man, some very positive things, man, and it's great to hear you get all the accolades and the appreciation that you deserve. Congratulations, Karen, on being able to go to Jamaica.
Thank you.
That's real dope. I'm going to tell y'all what y'all done did for me, man. Outside of being the inspiration or part of some of the inspirations that I use when I do the spare report, man, and aspiring to be somewhat like the black guy who tips when it comes to the level of quality work and quantity of work. I'm going to tell y'all what y'all done did for me, man. So check this out. Y'all up to 1,414 episodes, right? Nigga, I played that shit in the 4-digit, dog. It came out straight. Y'all just won your boy $700 motherfucking dollars, nigga. So check this out. I'm going to put a little bit extra in the collection plate this week, man. A little bit extra. Because I got y'all the inspiration, man. Yeah, 1,414 came out straight, nigga. My pockets is fat. And I'm going to hook y'all up. All right, so I appreciate y'all, man. Another great week of shows, man. Oh, another thing. Before I get off of here, I may see y'all at AwesomeCon this year, man. That's my birthday weekend, and that would be awesome to finally get a chance to meet you guys. I'm talking with my wife right now to see whether or not she'd be willing to go to DC around that time, see if she can get that time off of work. But I do plan on going to AwesomeCon, and it'd be real dope if I got a chance to see you guys while I go, while we're doing that. So, yeah, man, let me get off of here. I know y'all got the 3 minutes, but like I said, man, another good week of shows, and I'll talk to you guys again soon, man. Peace.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
That was a great email, man. I mean, voicemail. And also, I'm not surprised by your affection for Sprite, because you niggas love that shit. Okay. I'm not surprised at all. Sprite did have the best ads, though. Like, hands down, the best ads of my time had to be the Sprite rapping ads. Thank you, Mr. Span. Check out his podcast, Span Report.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. All right. We had comments. I mean, you had emails that we got. Let's read these. So I live in the country with I live in the county with March Sadness happening where it happened. Okay. So I live in the county in which March Sadness happened, and Sheriff Judd has these people on the news regularly. They attempt to keep this county as a wholesome and white as possible. No strip clubs, no alcohol sales on Sundays, and good old fashioned sex things monthly. Frankly, this place sucks, LOL. Remember, this is the same place where they arrested R. Kelly on the child porn charges. Judd is a piece of shit, but he doesn't play. So Void, okay, I was gonna say he a piece of shit for arresting R. Kelly. Or you mean he didn't give a fuck that he was famous? He was like, nigga, you going to jail too. So avoid Polk County if you can when visiting. Keep on keeping on, y'all. We will, and I will avoid it if I have a computer full of child porn. I mean, sounds like I'll be fine. I'll I'm not looking for prostitutes, strip clubs, or any of that shit.
Unless I want to drink on Sundays.
Feedback for episode 412, March Sadness. This is from Number One Feeling. She says, dear Rod and Karen, I wanted to write you about episode 1412, March Sadness, and your discussion about how badly white people want to be us and how much their sense of self is utterly dependent on their construction of us as black. I will say this is lengthy and not apologize for it. I need to say these things. And come on through. You are correct. You are completely right that the ideological mindset that made slavery possible does not go away. You're also right that Get Out, by using specific scientific absurdity or the future, played on these same themes. The Atlantic slave trade was part of the whole colonialism effort, which itself was regarded by Europeans as their divine duty. Yeah, that's one of the things that always fucked with me. When we learned what manifest destiny was in school, I just remember looking around the class like, is this not fucking crazy to anyone else? Like, this is not a thing I can't imagine any other culture taking this on. For you that don't know what manifest destiny is, the 19th century doctrine or belief that the expansion of the United States through the American continents was both justified and inevitable. So that's how they use manifest destiny in a lot of ways to justify the genocide of Native Americans, to justify slavery, the violence that they inflicted upon each other and shit. It was just like, it's our destiny to do this. We have to take this land from these people. Someone got to explore it. That's just part of it. The white man's burden. It's woe is me as a white man. It is my plight in earth, on this earth, to take everybody's shit. That is just what we have to do. Yeah, the white man's burden, the alleged duty of white colonizers to care for non-white indigenous subjects in their colonial possessions, a phrase used to justify European imperialism in the 19th and early 20th century, is the title of a poem by Rudyard Kipling. So yeah, if we don't do it, who will do it? Someone has to take this land from these people. Someone has to kill these people, these quote-unquote savages. Someone has to enslave these niggers. Someone has to do... It's like that's and they felt that they phrased it this way because they felt that it was actually a negative, like a thing the rest of us should thank them for, because it was so fucking hard for them having to do this. Anyway,
yeah, then when them people fight back, of course they're gonna fight back. You come and try to take their shit.
Yeah, but they felt that was the burden, like, oh, some of us will die killing these people and taking their land. And they won't just walk away, but that's our duty. Manifest destiny. It's our burden. Gotta do it. I'm a white man. It was the white man's burden to bring uncivilized Negroes into the modern era. See Pear Soap ad below. The attachment didn't come through, but it's cool. Colonialism was the engine of modernity, which is based on the ideas of reason over religion and scientific explanations and advancement. To bring these two together, white people had to create bunk science in order to make racism look more legit. And in keeping with the modernity effort, progress was their duty. As an example, in Get Out, spoiler alert, Chris watches the grandfather, I guess skip forward maybe a minute. I'm just gonna read this spoiler, guys. I'm sorry. Chris watches the grandfather's commercial for his scientific advancement for white people's chance at a second life. In fiction form, this is literally a colonial takeover of the black body based on the idea of scientific progress. They are literally colonizing our body, and the means for them to get us to where we can stay in the sunken place is to use the one thing they believe is superior to ours, their intellect and cleverness, hypnosis. They had to make us believe we have no power in the situation in order to be more compliant. High key, it's well known that Hitler used 19th century racial
racial science ideology. So slavery and American segregation as models to push the fiction that Jews were aliens and vermin who needed to be destroyed for progress of the German nation, manifest destiny and all that. Yeah, they did scientific experiments on Jewish people in those camps too.
I believe that.
Yeah, that's, but when you don't believe somebody's human, you can do something like that. Mm-hmm. White people's historic and continued attraction revulsion paradigm towards black people can be seen in this 19th century depiction of racial hierarchies, which is just completed pull from some white man, Arthur D. Gobineau. Yeah, there's no attachment. There's just, yeah, I don't see the picture. In that description above, you can see how white people, men especially, use black people as objects through which they constructed themselves as both white and superior subjects. They devised that what makes them superior is their intellect, since they lack the physical capacity we had. They projected onto us all of their disgust with themselves for their jealousy and attraction to us, not just sexually. What they have done is tether their existence to us as a people. Yeah, you know, one thing that's interesting about that too is to assume that you're intellectually superior to black people who you say are physically superior to you. Is it intellectual superiority that you have no moral compass? Because that's what it means to me. It's like, you're not smarter than somebody. You went, I'm going to enslave this person. I will kill this person to make a point. Like, that's what I'm willing to do. Like, I don't know that makes you smarter than them. It makes you more ruthless. If you notice in Get Out, whenever Chris disappeared from Gathering of the Whites, they were silenced, activity ceased. I thought this was brilliant. White people become devoid of substance without our presence. This is a metaphor for how white people's identity is predicated on our existence, but only in specific ways, through control, the sunken place, and then consumption. They need us more than we need them, and it terrifies them. That's why you have white people in the USA losing their goddamn minds over the prospect of becoming a numerical minority aided by the election of the black president. It's an existential crisis. The only way they know how to exist or survive is that they can be, or trick themselves into believing, they are superior to us. White supremacy, which requires the oppression of everyone else, is the only way they know how to live. And that shit goes back to the dawn of modernity in Europe. While I do not pity them due to how much violence they have caused my people, I do think, lastly, it is because of this, while dislike it, when black people define our existence as the opposite to whiteness. They don't make us, we make us. Whiteness is built off of us, not the other way around. We don't need them to exist. In fact, we are the OGs on this bitch called Earth, and that's some real science for your ass. Thank you for entertaining this lengthy email. Much love to Karen and the husband, Katrina. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dropping all kinds of knowledge up in there. Allegra A writes in, Gumball is the shit. Episode 1413, everything is always good. I'm just here to co-sign the advocacy of the show Gumball. My son does not watch it as much anymore, but I was watching it when he kind of stopped. Love that damn show, but I'm a couple years behind. Rod and Karen, you are the best, even though you eat Kit Kats wrong and drink your cereal milk. And a bunch of cute emojis. Thanks, Allegra. Mm-hmm. Kimberly writes in, hey Rod and Beachbound Karen, it's Falcons Diva, and I've been meaning to write you guys for some time. The beginning of episode 1410 reminded me to tell you how much I love my tweaked audio headphones. Some background. When I first started listening, I was new at my job, so I was skeptical about visiting the site. My first attempt to support the show was buying the Hegon headphones from Tweaked. I loved them, but when Rod first mentioned the wireless Hellers, I had to order them. I love them. A friend had just bought me some wireless earbuds for Christmas. I appreciate a gift, but now they are collecting dust because the Hellers are the truth. Ain't they though? Shortly after I bought the Hellers, my Hegon stopped working. Rod, you always talk about that warranty, but it's really the truth. I sent a message and I thought I would get a discount or on another pair. Nope. I got a brand new pair in the mail 3 days later. When you guys were talking about sponsors, I was reminded to send my own fan testimony. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm glad I was listening to this episode in the car, because when Leslie and Marissa started praising Karen, my eyes started sweating. When they dropped the Jamaica surprise, I was straight up bawling. I was so happy for you, Karen. You totally deserve it. I still think about how you praised and encouraged Ray Sonny that time and gave misty-eyed. Thank you, Karen, for your passion for black women. Enjoy your time away. I can't express enough how much I love this. Oh, I'm sorry, Karen. Go ahead.
No, I just said thank you.
I can't express enough how much I love this show. I'm fasting from social media for the Lenten season.
That's a good idea. I should have did it. It's so needed because I've been on edge since the dreaded day in November. I've got to the point where the petty Facebook post that I used to ignore started getting on my nerves. Twitter didn't get to me as bad, but I needed a break. I said all that to say I'm glad I can depend on the blackout tips for my current event updates that I used to get from Facebook and Twitter. Not only that, you share the news with passion and commentary that reflect how I feel. I know you don't like to be considered a safe place, but that's what you offer me. Aw. Anyway, sorry for the long email. No need to apologize.
You good.
I thought about calling, but I know I was going to start crying again thinking about Karen. And I don't think I would have met the 3-minute time limit. LOL. Just know that you guys are loved. P.S. I finally saw Get Out and I get all the references now. That's what I'm talking about. Karen saw it too. Now she gets them all. 1410. Will writes in. What's up, dear sister Karen and brother Rod? Hey, man, listen. The feedback show is usually the only one I catch live because of my schedule, but I missed it last week, and it's a good thing I did. LOL, I couldn't handle watching y'all's reaction to Leslie and Marissa's surprise, Karen live. I won't reveal how many thug tears fell out of my eyes. Also, the surprise hit me in the chest like an episode of This Is Us. Well, we can always go back to this. As a Jamaican, I'm coming with all the bias in the world when I tell you, Karen, that you're gonna love it. Soak it all in and enjoy yourself. It's well deserved. All of us appreciate you. For those of us that know the history, there would be no show without you. When I think about how far you guys and Bomani have come along in a few years, it gives me so much encouragement, especially in this current climate of fuckery. Anyways, that's my time because this email is getting already long as fuck. Y'all have a great weekend. Much appreciation for the work y'all do. Peace and love.
Thank you.
You know, that's interesting, man. I never really think about myself as a inspirational figure, but I guess in some ways I am.
I don't.
You know? Like, I guess, because I do remember calling in the bow on the air, sneaking away from my job on my 15-minute break and hoping that they corresponded with the time that I could make the call, and sometimes risking it by staying over my 15 minutes and hoping nobody noticed that I came back a little bit late. And
I miss the morning Jones, and it's hilarious how a lot of people never realized that you were riding Charlotte.
Yeah so I guess you know, I never really think about it, but I mean, I would be inspired if I'm inspired by Bo. I'm inspired by Michael Felder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all kinds of, I'm inspired by Leslie and Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm inspired by all kinds of people that I see do shit where I'm just like, I didn't know that was a thing you could do. You know, right. I didn't know to try that. You know, I'm inspired by Elon James White, man. I'm inspired by, there's a ton of people that are Keith and Hemda. You know, yes. There's a ton of people that I'm rooting for vicariously that.
Yes, I might not always publicly come out and rah, rah, rah. But yeah, I have a list of people that I admire, and I admire a lot of people from afar. You know, I love what a lot of you do. I support what a lot of you do. I might not come out and wave my hand and say, hey, I'm here, or hey, I'm in the room, but just know a lot of times, even though we're busy, we do watch, look, and listen a lot of more than y'all realize.
Yeah, so I'm inspired by a lot of people, and so I'm gonna try to let people be inspired, because I normally, my first reaction was to be like, oh man, it ain't that special, but you know,
right,
what?
I'm not that important. There's people out there doing real shit.
I'm not talking myself down anymore. Fuck that shit. I think what we've done is nothing short of amazing, and it might not be the biggest dream in the world, but it's definitely our dream, and we making it happen. And you know, we still have a ways to go. You know, I still wanted to be me and Karen doing this all day, every day for ourselves. And you know, we're working towards making that happen. You know, behind and in front of the scenes. So yeah, but thank you. Will also wrote back, hey y'all, I actually meant to send this in my last email. Immediately thought of this song when Karen got her surprise. Title, it's a song called Jamaica by Ja Cure. I'll see if it comes up. I clicked on it. It's taking a while to come up. Just give it a second. Let's see. And lastly, Rhea writes in. Okay, hold on. Can I play this from here? Play in title. Oh, so it just made me open up the browser for no reason. God damn it. It's terrible. Now I gotta go find the song.
They play title.
I know you didn't think you were making me work when you sent this, but here we are.
Oh, he didn't know.
You're making me work. Jamaican me work, actually. You know what I'm saying? I think you do, buddy. I think you do. I see the artist, but I just don't see the song, man. Anyways, if it ever comes up, True Reflections of the New Beginning. Okay, that's the album. Star Free Trial, nigga, I paid for this. I have this already. Oh God. This song better be hot fucking flames. This better be flame Cheetos, fire. After everything I'm going through this listening to this shit. Last email, Rhea says, hey Rob and Karen, a few days ago my 11-year-old son was reading a crazy story to me. I was half listening to the story, and once he finished and said, guess the race. Who knew he paid attention when I listened to the show in the car? Well, now you do. I had already turned 28, my 28-year-old daughter on to the blackout test. Now I'm working on the boy. I know, mother of the year, right? Obviously, love the show. Thanks for keeping us entertained. Sent from my iPhone. Thank you. That's pretty amazing. That's how you raise a kid. You got to raise them right. Let me see if I can find this person's song. True Reflections. All right. Title's just moving slow, guys. And what did he say the name of the song was? Jamaica? All right. This is the song he thinks of when he hears you go to Jamaica. Bio for this album. Mm-hmm. It said the title of his fifth album is likely a veiled reference to the fact that Jacure emerged from a prison sentence only days before it was released.
Woo.
Damn, this nigga is hardcore.
That music is laid back.
Yeah, I guess I mean, that's one way to handle it. No, just got out of prison. It's still not my favorite just got out of prison album.
What is
the best just got out of prison album of all time? You don't know what it is, Karen? Hold on.
I probably will when you play it.
Oh yeah, you don't know it when I play it. This is the best get out of prison, just got out of jail album of all time. Remember when Chico the Bard got out of prison, y'all? He came back, this shit was jamming.
Got a one room apartment.
Hey.
Two little tiny space. Isn't much but keeps the raindrops off my pretty face.
Yes, it's playing.
Just getting by and the money's big. Don't even know how I'm gonna pay the monthly rent. But I know exactly what I wanna do. I wanna make this work with you.
Nothing in life is guaranteed.
I never know where I'm going.
I need direction in my life. No guarantee.
No guarantees. He don't know when he's going back to jail.
No guarantees.
I was out window shopping.
I didn't even know you could make R&B features. Like, it's Chico the Barge and Joe. Like, right. Do they even do that anymore?
No, they don't.
And it's like,
not a rapper is a singer. Shout out to Drake.
Right. Rappers used to do this. Now it's like two niggas singing together. It's amazing. Anyway, we'll see. We'll be back tomorrow. I know this guest, our guest this week, we will have Mike Brown on Monday. And I'll talk to Miss Smart about seeing if she wants to review Walking Dead with us on a Wednesday.
That should be fun.
But yeah, shout out to Chico DeBarge getting out of prison. Mm-hmm. My nigga. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.